Okay.
I just,
the mom was the mom from Christmas Story.
Oh, well, oh, we'll get to that. Wait, we're not on the air.
That sounds like shit.
Yeah, sounds like it's underwater.
I thought it was just because it was the 80s.
No, that's for the bad hair.
You know how they really like to play with the electronics during the 80s? That's better.
There you go. Don't click and wink at me.
Stereo.
So Kat can't wink. And she goes like this. Both eyes scrunches up the face.
Did he do it?
That's great podcast material.
Oh, I didn't know we were on. Start over.
Okay, we're started over.
Are you lying?
No, we're...
Are you lying?
No, it's a whole new one here. Pretty song, huh?
Who sings this?
Joe Cocker. Remember good old Joe Cocker? He's still alive?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure.
Yeah, I think so.
I really don't know.
Yeah,
she's sure. Like, who the fuck's Joe Cocker?
I know. Sounds familiar, but I can't picture him.
He did the theme to The Wonder Years.
Oh, okay.
Which is a Beatles cover song, isn't it? That's a What Would You Do If I Sang Out of Tune?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By With a Little Help from My Friends.
Okay.
It's a long song title. How about that?
It happens.
This one's called Love Lives On. It's the theme to our big movie we're doing today, which is Harry and the Hendersons, 1987.
Aww.
Starring John Lithgow, Melinda Dillon, Don Ameche, Kenosha Zolin. He's from the city that we live in right now.
Oh, really?
Did you guys know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, Don Ameche's from Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Oh.
Yep, yep. But, and some kids and a French guy.
Some kids and a French guy.
Yeah. I am your host. I am Jason. With me we have the lovely Danielle is back.
Hello.
Back after an absence. We missed you.
Just a small one.
Yeah, yeah. But we do have returning is Jolene.
Yay.
Hello, Jolene. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Awesome, awesome. Are you excited about Harry and Henderson's?
I am.
Yeah.
I am. It brought back memories. I'm like, oh, it's been a long time. Oh, when we were all naive.
How old were you in 87?
Four.
So did you grow up with this like on VHS or anything?
Betamax.
No.
Or DVD? Did you have DVDs when you were a kid?
Not
just
that
DVDs?
Young.
Yeah.
No, it was VHS.
Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's still the 80s, so she wasn't ahead of anybody else just because she was four.
DVDs more came out like it was more in high school.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't. Yeah, we didn't get. We got it more on the
which
later
came
end.
Out after we were out of high school.
Yeah. It's all a big blur to me. I don't know.
I remember the show a little bit more. I remember the show being on.
The show, the Harry and Henderson's?
Yeah, yeah. They did a spinoff of a show on it.
Was it Harry and the Hendersons then, or was it Bigfoot and the Hendersons? Because I read that there was a TV show called Bigfoot and the Hendersons, but I think that was like in the UK or something, maybe.
No, they did. It was something in the U.S., because I remember watching that when I was little.
Oh, yeah, there was a TV show, yeah.
Yeah, and the guy from Arrested Development, wasn't he like the kid in it, I think? I'm not sure. The one that also did Teen Wolf 2.
Oh,
Jason Bateman?
Yeah, wasn't he?
No, I don't think so, no.
I don't remember. It was a long time. I just watched the movie. I didn't bone up on the show, but I do remember the show. I just remember that there was a Bigfoot. I'm like, I want a Bigfoot.
It ran for two seasons, from 91 to 93. So,
okay.
Yeah. It lasted two seasons. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yay.
Excuse me.
But, yeah, this came out in June 5th, 1987. Remember that day, Jolene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a balmy day in Kenosha County.
We'll go back to this week in history where Harry and Henderson's debuted at the box office at number 3 behind which movies?
In 87?
You're not going to know.
No, probably not.
Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Hey, I could have tried.
The Untouchables.
I mean, I was 10.
Yeah. It grossed $28 million. It's number 43 in the movies in 1987.
How old were you?
I have...
13.
I have no idea what the Untouchables are.
Really?
A gangster movie with Kevin Costner.
See, I've seen that, but you asked me about a movie earlier, and I'm like, what? No. No.
What happened this week? Michael Jackson drops out of Jehovah's Witnesses. So,
like,
and
like the actual practicing?
Yeah, he didn't give a reason why. He just said that, you know.
Because they're crazy. Oh. My bad.
Like, you really did a step up on that part. if you're gonna go with mental, like, sanity, like,
mental illness.
Mental, yeah, mental health rise, like, did he really?
Did he step up?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. If you become rich enough, you can be crazy.
True.
You can afford anything.
Uh-huh.
Brooke Shields graduated from Princeton this week.
Oh, good for her. Didn't she date Michael Jackson?
I think so.
It's
kind of, yeah, uh-huh. It's kind of related. But she earned honors in a major in, anyone can guess?
Hold on. At Princeton? Yeah, I probably ain't going to get this.
No, no. Modern
writing?
Modern languages with an emphasis in French.
Oh.
Oh, modern romance languages. Sorry.
I'm going to guess they're not so modern anymore.
Wasn't that, like, after, like, her career, like, already was, like, on a, oh, sorry, down low a little bit there, because didn't she, like, peak when she was 14, Brooke Shields?
Yeah,
and
she had a TV show in the
90s. In that one movie that she was naked in half the time, and she was 14.
The Blue Lagoon.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I got to get that one. But
naked 14-year-old. I got to get that. You don't sound like a pedophile.
Commercial.
The
guest gene.
Was it guest or I thought Gloria Vanderbilt, see?
Nothing gets between me and my guest gene. Yeah. And they're like zoomed up in her tight crotch. I'm like, she's 14.
She had this show, the Susan Show, wasn't it? Something.
Yes.
What was that called?
Susan. I don't Suddenly Susan.
Suddenly Susan? That was like, okay. That came back in the 90s.
Because that's where Kathy Griffith was from, too, isn't it?
Maybe.
She was
full circle here, guys.
Kathy Griffin was on that radio show with Phil Hartman and Andy.
I thought that was no. Am I? I don't
news radio.
Who knows?
News
yeah,
radio.
Yeah, yeah.
She was on news radio.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she was actually did a couple spin-off. She was on a couple episodes of Seinfeld there one time.
Yeah, yeah. The top TV shows this week were
in 87.
In June 1987, were the top five TV shows.
Sesame Street for me. I was four.
Right.
Family Ties, The Cosby Show, Cheers, Growing Pains, and Murder, She Wrote.
I watched all... Well,
I watched all of them.
Except for Murder, She Wrote.
I didn't write.
Yeah,
I watched it because my mom watched it. But we also never had, like, cable or anything. We always only... And to this day, my mom's the only house on her block that doesn't have a cable wire going to it.
Yeah.
She refused. She's like, if you guys can't pull straight A's as it is, I'm not getting you better TV. Screw you.
Growing up, yeah, we didn't have much. Like, I got cable channels once because I remember my dad actually shimmying up the pole. To steal it. But, yeah. Side note. Okay.
Cool. The top records this week were...
Michael Jackson, Thriller. No.
No, that was like 82, 83, something like that.
I tried.
Slippery When Wet by Bon Jovi.
Oh, wow.
Look at the Cat Dragged by Poison.
I still like that. When you hear those songs, though, you still sing along. Don't lie, Jason, you do, too.
I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston.
I still sing that, too.
Whitesnake by Whitesnake and The Joshua Tree by U2.
Those are all karaoke. Like, when you're in your car and it's on and you're just,
They're also considered oldies, so there's that.
Well, here's the top songs, too. Head to Toe by Lisa and the Cult Jam.
I think I just sang that the other day because it was on my XM radio.
Looking for a New Love by Jody Watley.
I know that one, too.
You Keep Me Hanging On by Kim Wilde.
Oh, wow.
And this one. This is Atlantic Star.
Yeah?
With Always.
I don't know any of those by name. I'm sure if I like started hearing them, I'd probably know them.
It shames me to say I know all the words. Oh, my God. Well, that's like today I was singing Belinda Carlisle songs, so whatever.
80s really wasn't in my... I like 70s. I know a lot of 70s
songs.
Right.
Well,
this is horrible.
The 90s.
I'm not saying this is good.
I always laugh at people who like talk about, ooh, I like the 80s, blah, 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 and they're like younger than me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I actually grew up through the 80s. you have no fucking clue. Like it wasn't about neon and side ponytails that were cute, guys. Yeah. That side ponytail was because you tried to cut your own fucking hair and ended up with a mullet that wouldn't go away, and you're a chick. So you put that fucking side ponytail in. Not spoken like I know anything about that, okay?
Well, you used so much product and, like, so many, like, you just fried it all off.
You know, that was for the high school 80s. For the middle school 80s, we had no, like, every generation, I shouldn't say generation, every area of that year, those years, know something different. Like, Jason was in high school then, so painted on tight pants, you know, a mullet that was, like, feathered.
I had these awesome tight-ass blue jeans that had a big skull patch on them, and they were buttonfly.
See? Nice. And they were acid wash, black.
No,
acid
no, they're dark blue.
Oh,
they're blue. But they're nice, yeah.
But see,
nice,
those sound like they'd be still hot today.
And yet,
like, those awesome.
Yet I was 10, so I was still in elementary school. So for me, it was like a big peach sweater that was huge, like five sizes too big, like your mom's shit that you would wear because you saw the girls with the big shirts, big hair, and then really skinny fucking pants on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the type of stuff that I wore.
My mom was, I was. I was born, so my mom was cutting my hair in a mullet, and I was
a bowl cut.
Oh, I had the bowl cut.
Oh, I had
up till like third, fourth grade.
Stick straight hair when I was growing up, and then when I turned curly when I got puberty, but whatever. And so stick straight back, and then she did the feather thing. It was the total mullet. It was bad. It was bad.
And she told you, it's okay, honey, you look like Farrah Fawcett.
Uh-huh. Who is that bitch? That's like 15 years before I was born.
No. You're like, great, now I look like some old chick.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, we can get started on the show, I guess.
We can. I'm sorry. We're just reminiscing.
10 minutes in, but
we're rolling down memory lane.
Start the show up. If you're new to Drunk Film Commentary, what is it that we do here? We get drunk and we talk about a movie.
We do. Yes. Yeah.
And, well, we try to. Sometimes we get
sidetracked.
Yeah. Well, we do our flashback thing. And then
we focus on the get drunk part, I think. So
it's the first word in the title, so I think that's the primary focus.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Who can walk a straight line when they're drunk? Come on. So we can't really stay on a straight topic sometimes.
Yeah. Do you like podcasts? Do you like movies? Do drunk people annoy you?
Yes, yes, and no.
Then you pick the right podcast.
Yay. Look at that shit.
But so we're going to get this movie started. We're first time you saw it, Danny, when's first your experience with
it? Honestly, I don't remember. I remember it being when I was younger. But I couldn't put an age on it. I couldn't say, I must have been 14. Can't say that. I remember seeing it when I was younger. I know I didn't go to the movies to see it because we didn't go to the movies a lot as kids anyways, but I for sure didn't go to the movies to see this. But I remember seeing it, and I remember thinking, I want to find a Bigfoot.
I know. I think that was everybody.
I want one. Mom, can we get one?
I was too young, really. I don't really remember that much, but wanting a Bigfoot and wanting a Bigfoot to live with me.
Right.
Because he's just a gentle giant. He'd be cool. It's okay.
Right.
He'll scare the people that are mean to me. It's
right.
Cool.
But he's like that big brother. Like, he can't talk. And so that's cool, and he doesn't pick on you because he loves you.
Yeah.
So even better than a big brother. And then Andy was like a monster, and nobody else would have one.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Yeah. I think I definitely got more out of it just watching it again. I watched it last night for refreshing on it, and just, like, seeing all the people, like, oh, yeah, I totally forgot about that. Or, like, I was too young that, like, completely missed that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Well, I saw a lot on videotape when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, because my half-brother is 11 years younger than me. I was babysitting him a lot, and we had this on one of the videotapes.
Okay.
And
like the recorded off of an HBO VHS?
No, my dad would have the two VHS tapes. He'd rent like another VCR for the weekend.
Oh, and record
rent a
from
whole
recording?
Set of movies and just pop them over, yeah. He was big into that.
My dad did that, too. Well, he bought two, so he would play one, and he fuddled up some weird contraption so you could have both of them plugged in at the same time.
Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Yeah. Well, now it's simpler. Well, okay, maybe not now, but you know what I meant.
But... so he watched this a lot, and I thought I was okay with it because
and the Sound of Music.
I thought the daughter. Yeah, he watched that one a lot too.
And Jason didn't mind.
I thought the daughter was cute. I thought the mom was cute. So
So you watched it.
I always liked Melinda Dillon. She was in Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she's.
Which
I like her better
Jolene
as a blonde.
Jolene pointed that out to me, and I was like, "Wait, what? Oh yeah."
Oh, you just
I was
realized
a little
that.
Bit,
I knew
I was
everybody looked familiar, but I didn't know what from. Okay. Everybody but the kids.
She always plays a mom. Did she ever? Has she ever done anything else besides a mom? I don't think so.
Well, she was in Close Encounters.
That was a long time.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, I only remember like specific scenes.
She was in Magnolia, getting fucked in the butt.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, that's what the only scene she's in, I think. She plays the guy's wife.
Hmm.
So.
All right. Her mole on her cheek is very distinctive.
It is. Yeah, yeah.
And we got to get John Lithgow credit because that guy is awesome.
Oh, he's a great actor. I love him.
Did you know that Melinda Dillon's actually like 5 or 6 years older than John Lithgow?
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see that. Like, I was watching the movie a little bit like that, and she looked great in it. I liked her the blonde. I liked her a little bit blonde more than in the Christmas Story when she was like a reddish brownish.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed when her hair was pulled up, you could see that she had
more wrinkles.
She had grow out, and but you couldn't tell when it was down because it was the blonde going to the gray. But she had like her whole head was completely gray during that movie. I noticed that, but I still thought she looked great. I mean,
yeah, she's cute, yeah. But so the movie opens up. They're camping. They're going out camping, and it comes out with like this horror kind of look to it. But they're hunting. They just find a rabbit. Is that what it is? A rabbit?
It's a rabbit.
Yeah, it's Ernie's first kill.
But it sounded like, to me, when I rewatched it today, twice, but it sounded like it was John Lithgow as a kid with his dad out, like, walking, because you don't see the people. You just see them going through the woods. Like, it's a point of view action. Then it opens into, you see.
I think they were trying to just do that as a similarity of every kind of father-son first
bonding
honey
moment.
Because she referenced that, like, just like your father with giving the gun to the kid, but that's later on in the movie.
Why I thought that was him.
Well, that happens where he lies about bringing the rifle. That comes in a little later, but that comes up right now. They're leaving.
Right.
And they hit something when they're driving through.
Mm-hmm.
Driving through the backwoods, and they run into something, and... He
thought it was a human.
Yeah, yeah.
They thought
it was a bear.
But then they look in the back mirror, in the rearview mirror, and they're like, well, it's furry and it's laying there, so it's got to be a bear. Or a gorilla, but they don't grow them that big here.
Yeah.
No, the wife suggests that. It's a gorilla. And the husband's like, no, honey. Like,
they don't grow them that big here.
You're on the wrong continent, but I'm just going to say they're not that big here.
But so George pulls his rifle out of the back,
mm-hmm.
which he said he didn't bring it.
Right.
Yeah. Because
how
it was.
How do you hide a rifle in the back of a car? I don't know, for a weekend.
In a station wagon, nonetheless.
Yeah.
And it was right on top when he went to pick his out. It was right there.
Yeah. How do you hide that whole weekend? You know.
I guess only he packed the car.
Right.
But he lied and said he didn't.
Especially in
it.
The 80s, yeah. Only men pack the car, right?
He lied about not bringing it because they wanted to glorify like
Ernie's
first shot thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's a good idea.
But he gets out and he's like an animal. He's like, this is why I brought it, for our protection.
Yeah, well, good thing he had it. But couldn't he use the kid's rifle though too?
He could have, but that's a smaller one. Have you ever tried to shoot a small kid's gun?
Mm. Not today. So they go out there and they think they hit it, but they think it's dead.
Right.
So they put it on the car. They drive. While they're driving, it wakes up, and you see the first face of Harry.
Right on, because they tie him on the roof, and then it's just like his face in the
windshield.
Yeah, it
shows in the window. And George slams on the brakes, and he flies out the car. And this time he's dead, I guess, because he's cold, he has no pulse. I mean, I don't want George taking
my
vitals.
Dead.
No.
He's dead.
For one thing, he's cold. I'm like, bullshit. Like, coldness doesn't set in 10 seconds.
Yeah, right.
Like, no, that just doesn't happen.
Right, but they found him in a foggy spot.
Yeah.
And they're in Seattle, in the mountains. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say... It's cold there.
Yeah. But the mom
was
cute.
Later in the movie, so.
Right. Within a week, if that.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought the mom was cute, though, how apprehensive. She's like, are you sure? You were sure before. What?
Right.
Hey.
Yeah.
Why
should
I trust you now?
Parts to it. It has some good lines.
Yeah.
The screenwriter, did a pretty good job.
Family friendly.
Because
the dad was supposed to be, like, a well-known hunter. He's, like, even said, I know these woods by the back of my hand, but how he approached everything, it's like, you look like it's the first time you've ever stepped foot in the woods.
He's another guy that just is telling big fish tales type of thing. Like,
but look how the, that later on, look how the house was decked up with all...
his hunting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was a big hunting guy.
Yeah. Well, so, his dad owned the hunting, or the, so the gun shop. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
His dad sure was, too.
Oh, but yeah, his dad wanted that, but he really was a little bit different from his dad. But
he had other interests. Yeah, yeah, but I think he was also big in hunting until then. Yeah. You know, he bringing his kid out there, wanted him to get his first kill, so.
Yeah.
And but it's a bunny.
I thought it was funny. This is when you hear the kid go, oh, shit, sorry, Dad.
Yeah.
My little brother pulled that on my dad once, like shortly after watching this. He said that to him, and he started giggling, and I'm like, oh, you fucking idiot.
Giggle afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. But,
You can't smile. You have to look like the, oh, shit, like, and you're, like, covering your eyes and, like looking down.
I'm
like,
not looking
fuck,
up. I'm not making eye contact.
Don't punish me. Yeah. I fucked up.
So George says it's definitely dead, and so they pack it back up on the car and take off.
On the roof again. Because so it worked so well the first time.
And then we meet Jacques Lafleur after that.
Yes.
He's, like, been tracking them. He sees their footprints and
did you
car
guys
prints.
Like how he had to taste every evidence?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sniff it.
Just walking by, grabbing, like, a treat. And, and he's out there picking up little pieces of hair and stuff and finds the license plate. So, so he knows he's on to him. He's like, oh, boy, he's going to show up, you know, later on. Yeah, he's coming back. He's... So they get to the house, and George can't sleep. Middle of the night, he goes out to the garage and looks for the creature. You know, and he looks around, and just
not
and it's
road,
not on the
roof.
And somehow he escaped and got into the kitchen, and he didn't see him coming in the kitchen, but they cross paths somehow.
Yeah.
But he hears noise from the kitchen, and he sees him. Harry's knocked over the fridge. There's food all over the place. The place is a fucking mess.
He's eating.
And so now you have...
Hey, you've been killed twice today. You'd be hungry too, fucker.
All right. And this is when he's making these, like, actions. He's trying to act tough, you know, Harry. And he looks a lot like the Predator because it's the same actor that played the Predator.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was the same. Okay.
Yeah. Kevin Peterhall? Kevin Baker? Kevin Peterhall?
No, I love that actor. There's another movie that he did, like, late 80s, early 90s, where he was, like, a schizophrenic, had multiple personalities and a killer, and he was great. And I don't remember the new movie, but awesome. I love that actor. Sorry.
Huh. Yeah, he was in lots of stuff.
Yeah.
He died in 91. Oh. Yeah, he died young. He died of AIDS that he got from... He was in a really bad car accident. And he got a blood transfusion. But he was... he's in lots of stuff here.
He was in the TV
series,
too.
Monster in the Closet.
Wait, the father? We're still talking about the father, Harry Henderson, right? Wait.
No, we're talking about Kevin Peter Hall.
The guy
who
played Harry.
Oh, okay, the big gorilla. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He's the one who played Predator. The actual Predator.
Oh, sorry.
And he's in some other stuff. He's in Next Generation. He's in an episode of that.
Drunk.
Yay.
He was on 227.
227.
Okay,
oh,
I don't know other stuff. Okay, I think all the other stuff that he was in maybe is before I remember.
Yeah, he died from AIDS, from a blood transfusion in 91.
Yeah.
He was 35. So that sucks. But no, the other guy, you think of John Lithgow.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Or are you
horrible
thinking of John
name.
Lithgow's dad?
John Lithgow is very much alive.
No, the guy from Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He was the one that did, like, he was just schizophrenic, a double personality or whatever, where he was, like, a serial killer 90s movie. He was that guy.
Yeah,
like
he was
him.
In Dexter, that one season of Dexter, he was the bad guy.
I've only seen the first season of Dexter.
Oh, I've only seen the third season, I think it is, and he's on that.
Okay.
I watched that whole season.
And I loved him in Third Rock from the Sun, too. I like that guy.
Yeah, he's good in everything.
Yeah. He was creepy as fuck in that serial killer movie. I don't even know the name of it. Sorry, so let's not stop. I'll stop talking about it.
But yeah, he's been in tons and tons of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like him. I think he's good. He's a good actor.
Yeah.
He could do comedy and drama. You know, he can flip back and forth and do either one. But so the family comes downstairs. You know, Harry's going nuts. And Nancy is Melinda Dillon, the mom. She pulls out the Glade and sprays it.
Because he smells.
Yeah. Now, that's quick thinking, though.
But he's also distracted by it. He's like, what's that? What's that? And he's like, all right, come on, get away from my family and my kids. So,
yeah. I liked how George, like, cries for his family to come rescue him from the Bigfoot.
And then he tells him to stay away from
him.
Like, don't come here. Come here, but don't come here.
But, and Harry just fucks the house up.
Oh, what about the daughter, though? He finds the daughter, like, saving a orchid corsage from
her 15th birthday.
Yeah, that was, like, 6 months ago, and he ate it. And then she starts scolding him. You're bad. That's very bad. I don't care. Yeah. You're a Bigfoot.
But he tears the place up. He's ruins the refrigerator. He's breaking lamps, chairs, and the door frame. He pushes up. It's in his way.
Can we talk about how the house is being destroyed? How it's ridiculous. Yeah, how everything is just being crunched. And, like, the door frame gets put in. It's like, okay, no. Yes, that's just crumpled cardboard. That's how stuff gets destroyed.
The next day she blames on a fight that her and her husband had.
Oh, the nosy next neighbor.
Oh, yeah,
neighbor.
We've had worse fights than that.
Yeah, the nosy, she's like, this is nothing. And I I'm like, way to normalize domestic violence. There we go, right there. But the nosy neighbor was the girl from My Big Fat Greek Wedding, the mom from My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, she was in a lot of movies.
She did an episode of Tales from the Crypt, too. I like that series.
Nice.
But, she's great at being nosy and... talking a lot. Oh, then the next morning when they're throwing, she's asking when the neighbor comes around.
Oh, brings little Bob back?
Yeah. And when, because at that point in time, the Bigfoot's then in the basement. They try to shoo him down in the basement before she comes in. Stairs collapse because he's so
stairs
big.
Stairs, he breaks that,
and
too.
They have the youngest child escort this
the
huge
girl.
Yeah, the big escort. And they hear the crash, and Irvin, what was his name?
Ernie.
They look at you, I'm okay, Mom.
It's
but
cool.
Then when he's downstairs, and the dad is in the kitchen, and he's, because he's tall, you see, like, the kitchen tile floor perfectly mound up when he's trying to...
Oh, going up and down.
Yeah,
and
instead
down.
Of destroying it, I'm like, oh, it's like a pulsating like little air bubble instead of, It was just ridiculous. All the destruction. It was cute about him with the animals, though. That was kind of the night before he noticed that there was a deer with a buck on the wall, and he's like, oh, petting the deer, and he's like, wait a minute, there's no torso.
Well, he finds Grandma's stole, too.
Mink stole.
But the deer he then punches through the wall and goes to pet the backside of him, like, there's nothing here.
And then he gets clearly upset, and he starts digging, like, burying the mink stole and this deer head.
Yeah.
So then the dad has to gather. He's like, fuck, okay, keep him outside. He's gathering up all the dead animals because he works in a rifle shop with his dad. There's a whole bunch of dead animals on the ground.
Oh, everywhere.
Shoves
them
in the closet. She's like, keep him outside. She's like, he's coming in. Sorry.
He's like, no, stall him. How the fuck am I going to stall him?
He's coming in now.
And then while he's wandering around the house, George calls the police.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he tries that. And they're not buying it. So, and, that's when he takes down the basement. And then when Bigfoot brings him back up, lifts him back up, brings him upstairs.
Ernie,
Ernie. And then you kind of know he gives a big smile to George, like,
hey. Oh, you're a gentle giant.
Yeah, he's
okay.
Nice, even though he ruined our whole fucking house.
Oh, yeah, and he's all the plants throughout. He's eating all the plants.
Yeah,
he's the goldfish, but he's burying all the dead animals. So, he's a friendly vegetarian.
Yeah.
Even though he eats fish.
None of them are friendly.
They're all angry.
And this is when they say, we don't even know if it's male or female. And, of course, the teenage daughter's like...
It's male.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Because I saw his cock.
She didn't say that.
He shook his cock
what
at
an
me.
Ass.
You know, she gives the mom that it looked like mom.
I don't want to know. Never
mind. I'm not
going to
tell you that he shook his cock at me. Well...
I don't even know what to say to you.
Hey.
I'm sorry, but you should have, like... When he was on the roof and... His face. He woke up and his face was in the windshield and his mouth was open wide. When he saw all those flat teeth, you should have known then he was a vegetarian. But that's just sorry. That was me nerding out a little bit. But
there you go.
Know,
yeah,
right there.
Right.
You
like,
know,
like he can't eat.
He's got nothing to rip flesh. Those are all flat teeth. Yeah, he's only a he's a vegetarian. Sorry.
No, we're good. We're good. And then we get to Jacques Lafleur and Dr. Wallace Wrightwood.
Yes.
And they're talking about the existence of Bigfoot, so we kind of meet Dr. Wrightwood. He comes up later on. And we get back to the house where George has spent the day with Harry while the family went out and bought new groceries. He taught him how to sit. And that breaks the house even more. Fucking breaks the couch. He breaks on our fucking chair.
I don't know. I was watching that. It seemed like he did that on purpose because he started, scolding him almost instead of, working with him. He's like, all right, fucker.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
I'll break
buy a new fucking couch.
And the kid's like, yeah, Dad, you did. He's like, all right, I'm getting good. Yeah.
And then it's a running joke. Attention. Every time he hears the word sit, he's going to jump and sit down. Yeah.
Break shit.
Teach him very well. And then he finds out about TV. He's watching, watching an old Ronald Reagan movie.
Something with a chimp in it.
And Ronald Reagan is in it, too. He's the guy. former president Ronald Reagan.
That asshole.
Yeah. He was in it, and that's when he's throwing the dipper on the house. And
yeah.
This thing would have to go, man. There's no way I wouldn't. Fuck no, I would not keep this fucking Bigfoot
like,
in my house.
I'd be like, you're fine.
I'd say, you'll find your way back out to the woods. Go. Get out of here. Just run.
No, baby, we're going to keep it.
No, it's gone. So, and that's
oh, it's going to look at you with those, like, oh, don't hurt me.
Which
guys.
Is exactly why he didn't shoot him.
Yeah,
when he
the
looked
night
at him
before,
like that.
He was, like,
yeah.
upstairs and he climbed a ladder, had a shotgun, and he's, like, looked at him, like, don't shoot me. And he didn't.
He smiled all pretty and.
So later that night, George is planning to bring Harry back to the woods. That's his plan.
Which is exactly what he should have done in the first fucking
yeah,
why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
You pull it off to the side of the road, you put a get well balloon on it, and you take off.
Yeah. And he uses the hamburgers to try to get him in the car, and he doesn't like the hamburgers.
But yeah. Oh, I got you the fish sandwich. Here
yeah,
you go.
Yeah. How about some fries? How about some fries? So he gets him in the car, and then Ernie starts to cry. And then the sad music plays.
Yeah.
And then they go and talk, and because the sad music's playing, Harry gets upset, and he starts crying too.
Oh, but when he first sits in the car, he has to do a little dome on the.
Yeah.
Sits up straight and then does a little bubble
boing
on the roof
yeah,
of the car.
Yeah, fucks up the roof of the car. Another thing.
Rips the door off the handle.
Every couple of seconds,
get
the guy's fucking something up. So, yeah, no, he'd have to go quick. And,
I had a dog like that.
So then, Harry breaks on the car door, he splits off, runs off, and George is freaking out. And that's when he decides to name him Harry.
Yeah.
So he's running around. Yeah. Well, when he's talking to a little kid, right, when he runs.
When was his name Harry?
Yeah.
Just now. So you can never kill anything that's got a name.
And you named it. That's what goes wrong with parents. They name those fucking kids, and now you can't get rid of it. Fuck.
So George looks for him. He runs around screaming for Harry. And Harry's like, who the fuck are you talking to? But
yeah.
Harry doesn't know his own name.
Well, the next day, the family goes about their normal lives, you know.
I did like the scene where he's like looking at the mountains in the distance and the can't cross the freeway.
Oh yeah, he can't get through. Yeah,
yeah. Because he tries going back home and he's looking at it. He's like, no, I can't cross. The sunburst gonna.
Yeah.
Send back. Yeah.
Yeah. Then that morning, Ernie sets little Bob free.
Go, little Bob, go run free.
But little Bob comes back like 2 seconds later.
Yeah. Little Jack Russell Terrier.
I'm gonna go pee and I'm gonna come back.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then Harry's being talked about the news. Things are going crazy. George doesn't want to go to work, and Nancy like tells him to go anyway. So,
yep.
And then Jacques Lafleur shows up at the door of the Hendersons. This is when her and Nancy are talking, or Nancy and Irene are talking about the house. And
oh yeah, was that before or after the ammo shop? The ammo.
It was before.
It was before. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he says he's Richard Smith investigating an animal that was hit, and then Nancy just says that it ran off, just walked away. But don't animals walk?
And then he's like, yeah. And he's like, you know what do you mean, walked away?
If I told you my dog walked away, you would assume on four fucking legs.
Yeah. I didn't get that one, but.
Yeah, I didn't either. They were.
Well, he obviously
they
knew
tried
that
too
big,
hard.
Big feet. I don't know how you pluralize that shit.
Bigfoots?
But he had Bigfoots. I don't know. But obviously they walk upright. So that's what, you know, he was, instead
was
of scurry, instead, I wouldn't say scurry either, so
no.
I don't know. But. Maybe
Bigfoots don't
galloped.
Maybe
off.
We're just normal everyday folk. Who knows?
They try to force that she gave away something, but it really wasn't, and it just
right.
Yeah, it fell.
But yeah.
But more and more people are like then calling in these sites of Bigfoot. And
yeah, and George gets out of work early. He goes to the North American Museum of Anthropology.
Well, his dad ask him to do the drawing?
That's the next
one.
Sorry,
but He meets, well, he doesn't know, but he meets Dr. Wrightwood. But Dr. Wrightwood says he's just like a guy who works there. He's trying to play it off that he's not him. And
he didn't want one more person thinking he was crazy for.
Yeah, because Wrightwood is like, come to the conclusion, like, this is a mythical creature. Like, I've wasted my life.
Right, which
and
later comes to.
Jean,
when he shows
yeah.
up at his house, it later comes to head where he says, you know.
Yeah.
Listen, don't waste your fucking time and life and money like I did. And
yeah.
Which somehow fix the house up for him.
Well, not really if you saw. They just put a lot of pictures around all the holes and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, but he's unlike his former coworker or colleague, which is still. Like
right.
hunting him, the Jacques guy.
Jacques
Lefkiel.
Yeah. That's a lot of.
I apologize.
So
if
George.
I offended anybody who's French.
But then he's talking to Don Amici, you know, the Wrightwood, and He's like, you gotta talk shop and shop. And he leaves with a handful of shit, so you'd think that he'd talk to him for a lot more if he bought a bunch of shit.
At the shop?
Yeah, yeah. Because he's like, if you're going to talk shop, then you better shop. And then it cuts to him walking out with, like, the Bigfoot lamp and some other shit.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Walking out like he bought a bunch of shit.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
He did buy, yeah, because...
So you'd think he was getting him to talk more, and you don't see any of that.
Or he was just trying to do research because he...
With a Bigfoot lamp?
Yeah,
he just grabbed a bunch of shit. Like, well, thank you for sharing your time. And
I think he only grabbed the Bigfoot lamp because anything that kind of looks similar to what he actually saw. I don't know.
Well, and then we get to George's dad asks him to draw this poster for the Bigfoot for the window, and you could tell that his dad did not like encourage his art at all. You know, just like
no,
it was like the only time he ever like you still play with those painting stuff.
Yeah, he totally didn't even care.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, that's too, like, sensitive and not and creative and not just manly enough, so who the fuck cares?
And actually, the drawing that they had of him that George made of Harry was the original drawing that the designer did.
Oh.
For the design of the creature.
Huh. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So that's kind of what they wanted to look like, and that's what they got out of him, so it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
So... yeah, but and George draws a picture of Harry as a gentle, and Dad doesn't like it, so...
Yeah, but he was contemplating the night before, and he, like, had all these scary pictures and then one really sweet picture.
Oh, yeah,
and his wife comes in, and she's like, well, then draw
what you want. Yeah.
No, he's like, draw, give him what he wants that. Give him what he really is. So, of course, the dad pissed off, didn't like it. But I was impressed how big it was. It was, like, actual full
his
size. Yeah, it wasn't just, like, a picture of him. It was full statue.
It was like a fat head.
You'd think he spent a lot of time just drawing the whole thing in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the shit they put on the wall.
Yeah.
For it to be, like, the fifth drawing that he did, or for the night, at least, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, I think it's a good time for us to take a little break. This is GFC, and we will be right back.
Okay.
Hey there, you're watching, or you're listening to... Drunk Film Commentary. And if you're trying to reach us, there's lots of ways you can fucking find us. We're on the Facebooks at Drunk Film Commentary.
Yes, we are.
We're on the Instagram
at drunk_film_commentary.
At Instagram.com.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay. You only do that on your mobile phone, I found out.
What, the Instagram?
Yeah.
Yes, dear.
Yeah.
Holy hell. Also, you
can't
can
do that on your laptop.
What, on Google Play? On.
I just found out about the Google Play today. I'm like, oh, it's right there. I'm like, that's nice.
Right on your phone, yeah.
Yeah.
Boom. I'm not good with the technology.
We're right there, right there.
Or you can just Google that shit.
Yeah. Well, they are listening to us. They'd find this episode, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Yeah, those are places where you can email us at drunkfilmcommentary@yahoo.com.
Just in time. Sorry, I'm just telling him again. He messaged me and I told him, you know, now you have to email us all the time since you're no longer here. Just in time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Drunkfilmcommentary@yahoo.com.
Just in time.
Yeah. If you really want to help us out, you can hit us up on Patreon. We have a Patreon account.
We do?
We do.
Holy crap.
Can't they, like, pick a movie through that?
If you give us $20, you can pick the movie.
Holy shit.
You get us drunk that night, it's your movie, so...
It's well worth the $20.
So find us on Patreon, Drunk Film Commentary. Make a $20 donation and send us an email and tell us it was you and you pick the movie.
Nice.
So we'll see the $20 pop up and we'll know it was you and we'll do the movie within like 4 or 6 weeks we'll get it out. Sometimes we're kind of slow, but we'll get it out as soon as we can.
Yeah.
But, so that's it. That's Drunk Film Commentary at yahoo.com. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Instagram. Find us on all that stuff.
You're kind of like a genie, like, I grant your wish.
This is Harry Nilsson. Nilsson.
Nilsson?
Nilsson. N-I-L-S-S-O-N. Nilsson. He's an old guy that used to sing the song. And I guess Harry and Henderson is named after Harry Nilsson.
Okay. Oh.
So that's why we're playing the song. Everybody's Talking from 1969.
All righty.
Good tune. Good chill. Nice little acoustic.
Very 70s.
It's 60s, actually.
60s. Okay.
But yeah, it had early, more than
70s. Yeah, 60s, 70s, yeah.
It was getting
folky. Like Santa Rhonda.
Yeah.
Campfire.
But so we're back with a drunk film commentary. Sorry about the break there. We are watching Harry and the Hendersons.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yes. And George is at work. He finds out that Harry's been seen at Russell's certain address. And he splits. He goes, quits his job.
Well, right before that, his dad, like, he drew the picture.
He's ready to leave. Of the Bigfoot. But then his dad comes in with the picture.
Yeah. His dad is disappointed about the friendly Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah. He's pissed.
And, like, his dad then, like, graffitis it. Like, draws over a mean face over, like, the gentle giant face. And he's like, look, you're not the only artist in the family, son. It's like, how dare you? Fuck this. I'm out. I gotta go find Harry.
Hey, what would you do if you were George and your dad wanted you to, you know, draw that? And, you know,
and you knew he was a gentle giant? And
yeah, yeah.
He wants you to draw the mean, vicious bastard?
Yeah. Because he knew what he wanted. You know, he knew he was going to get bitched at, and he knew his dad was going to like
Well, being it so nice that I am, I would draw what I want.
I had a different relationship with my father versus the guy in the movie.
Yeah.
Like,
you would tell him what you knew, and you would already have told him?
Yeah, like, my brother was the one that, like, he put more on a pedestal. Like, he was the son. My father had 4 younger sisters, so he was surrounded by females, so he wanted the boy. And his dad was all about, like, tough love for the boys. Oh, let's hug the girls.
See, and I was brought up with a single mom who was, like, all about the boy and was like, girls, look, you gotta learn how to frickin' change tires and change your own oil and do this. And for my brother, it was like, he doesn't have to take the garbage out because he can sit here with me while you do it.
I was just, with being second born and the girl, like, I was just kind of put on, like, I didn't talk much either. I was more quiet. And you can see my dad, he's like, I want to do stuff with my son.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question?
Sorry.
What the fuck does that do with Harry and the Hendersons?
We're talking about the relationship between a father and a son.
Oh, you would do it. Yeah, right. Because then I would be like, see.
Look at his face. He's totally confused. Okay, apparently we have to move on. So he leaves
because
work.
Because I would just draw and be like, I wasn't the one that you expected stuff out of anyways, so this is my shit.
This is what you get.
Long story longer. That's where it comes from.
So George goes in the city and he runs into this bicyclist who's like freaking out with the reporters.
On camera. With the cops.
Saying that he was attacked by Harry, by the Bigfoot. That, you know, came at him with his claws and his
drooling fangs.
Yeah, just the whole ready to tear him apart.
He's like, screw you, Dad, I'm gone.
Just how Dad had drawn him.
He's nice.
Yeah, and George confronts him and bitches him out.
Yeah.
Gets him to deny it, and then the media attacks him. He just does his little speech.
George Hen.
I'm George Hen. This is George Hen. George Hen. And
then runs away. Which you see him run away, you don't see him get into his car. You see him run away, and then you think, if anybody, like nowadays, there would be pictures of his license plate all over Facebook and shit.
Oh, yeah.
But nobody saw that. Like, even the news people didn't put that out there. Like, this is his license plate.
Yeah.
They just let him go.
You would think he was parked nearby. 'Cause
he was right there. He was literally running towards his car when the scene cut.
He was heading that there. But so then later, Harry sees George on the TV. He sees that
that interview.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you didn't see him. You were scared of him. He was nice. Yeah.
And he starts pulling the TVs out, and that's when the police arrive.
Yeah.
And that's when shit kind of really gets fucked up in the city there.
But Harry's like, or what's the father's name?
George.
George. George's like running through the city, like, because he knows he's kind of close, and he starts like. A Wookiee call. I'll make a Wookiee call. Or like a big a Sasquatch
call.
Oh, he's like, I think this is your call,
which is
Harry.
Which is a slightly more stupid Wookiee call.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
Well, it's a Bigfoot call. It's, you know.
Sasquatch.
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 That's not Sasquatch.
But the French guy's right on his tails, too.
Jacques Lefleur.
Jacques Lefleur.
Yeah.
I think everybody was, like, hiding wherever the cops went is where those two went. Like, it's like that's how they knew maybe where Harry was going to be.
Well, he doesn't really leave a discreet trail behind him.
Right.
So
just like with the house, everything's broken and smashed.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
But he leaves like every little branch that, you know, Lefleur has to smell.
Right.
He's got a taste. He's got a tongue everywhere.
Well, because of the smell, like even what was the other guy's name?
The one that
David,
like, gave it up. Like, yeah.
David Sushish. What's his name?
Don Amici?
Doctor, the other one that was running.
That one.
Yeah. He said, you know, there was this odor that left a burning in the back of my throat. Like, he kind of, he does a forefront after to tell you that how badly he smells. Like, there was, you could always smell him. So if Lefleur knew what he was looking for, it was that.
I'm going to nerd out a little bit right now, though, but I found it almost like a little assaulting, the tasting part of it. Like, they try to force it. That's like early chemistry. Like, chemists would taste to be able to, like, document chemicals. That's not an actual... People don't just go stick shit in their mouth to analyze it.
I didn't see him... I didn't see him put it in his mouth a lot. What I saw was him breathe. But I saw him breathe with his mouth open, which is something that you can...
No, I'm talking about the French guy, not the...
Yeah. No,
he put a lot of shit in his mouth. He tasted a lot of shit. Like, all the fur, the branches, he had... I found that a little insulting, though. No, because they tried to make it look like he was more of, like, a scientific, and granted, way back in the day, chemists, not that he would be more of, like, field biology.
Assaulting him, that's what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm nerding
those people.
Well, yeah, they try to go overboard, like, hey, I'm a scientist, so
you
I gotta put shit in my mouth.
You can tell what it is by taste, yeah.
Because back in the day, chemists would taste everything, because that's how they document different chemicals and compounds that, you know. But that was, they try to, like, hey, I remember that some scientist guy tasted shit, so we'll make him put everything in his mouth.
See, I only remember him doing it, like, twice in the movie, where he actually put it in his mouth. Otherwise,
and
he was breathing.
Every time he came across...
He was doing that.
He would do the breathe, and he would, like, taste it every time he came across a clue.
Well, speaking of the smells and tastes, Lefleur, he climbs into a dumpster looking for Harry.
Yeah.
And he just happens to be in the dumpster. Did he hear him or something?
He heard the knocking. He was underneath the dumpster. Like, he kind of ran underneath the dumpster in front
because
of the running
cops. Yeah, everybody was, like, going
and,
with the
and you heard
ruckus.
A thumping.
So he goes up there, and Harry grabs him, throws him in, and the gun goes off, which George hears that and knows right where to run to. And
well, he was already running down the alley.
Yeah, he steals a garbage truck with Harry and Lefleur in the dumpster, and it takes off.
But he doesn't know Lefleur's in the dumpster. He just knows Harry is.
Oh, yeah, because Harry's like...
Well, Harry knocks him out there briefly, so he's passed out because they're like, don't shoot me. Look at my kind blue, cool eyes.
Everybody passes out for perfect times in movies, you know?
Yeah, they do. Funny how that happens in the movies.
Yeah, that's what happened in real life. No. You're passing out your hospital.
And what it does is everybody's like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hit and pass out, you better go for.
Yeah.
Get yourself checked out. But anyway, so Lefleur and Harry are in the dumpster, and that's when the pistol's still there and pulls that out, and Harry grabs it from him and puts the thing where he puts it to his head. Yeah. And
like he's looking down the barrel himself.
Yeah.
It.
And you think, oh my god, he's going to shoot Harry in the head. You know, did you think that when you saw that?
Well, I mean, yeah.
That's what
that
they
was
wanted
the whole
you to
point
see.
Of
that's
it.
What
yeah.
I thought.
That was supposed to be the scary part.
It was scary.
Yeah.
It was scary.
He's going to reach over and he's just going to fucking pull the trigger. But instead, Lefleur tries to grab the whole gun.
Well, and then he slams on the brakes.
He drops it.
He slams on the brakes. The dumpster flies off.
Harry
and
was
then
saved.
Harry and George,
George
is
still.
Saved.
George still. Oh yeah, because George and it really still didn't at that no
right.
point know that.
And the dumpster goes flying off of the holders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And goes flying across to where Harry stands up like.
no matter how fast your velocity is shooting through the air, if you're in a metal container, you're good.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You're good.
Absolutely. Let's try that.
Okay, after you.
No.
So George brings Henry back to the house and wakes the whole family up. And
everybody's like, you're here. We have missed you.
They're ready to celebrate. Let's have a celebration.
Yeah.
Let's party.
But first,
they
let's
cleaned
wash
them up.
First, let's wash you. You stink.
In the neighbor's pool.
Or before that is when the trophies fell out of the closet.
Well, so yeah, because Ernie wants a picture. Yeah.
And they go in the closet, and that's where he, like, George stashed all the, like, dead animal
But George knows what he needs. He needs to have burials because they have feelings, too.
Yeah, so he buries
And all he has to do is look him in the eye and be like, we made a mistake. We're human. We made
because that works with our parents when they did that shit to us.
Yeah, so they give him a bath in the pool, I guess the neighbor's pool.
Do you have a cat? No.
The nosy
then
neighbor.
It's just a hairball.
Yeah, the nosy neighbor that
otherwise
like, forced herself in the house.
That's what he was saying, yeah.
And my husband, he thinks a condor flew over and fucking shit in the pool.
I still thought it was kind of a dick move for them to have him like bathe in the neighbor's pool. Because earlier
they didn't have one, so it's fine.
No, but earlier in the movie, like the bumper because
bumper flies in
there, and you saw that it was a pool guy. A pool guy pulled it out, so you knew it wasn't like your bitch neighbor that you don't like. That's too fucking nosy. That's actually gonna deal with it. It's some poor pool service guy that's actually gonna
deal with Kimchi, the rose guy. Kimchi. Oh wait, his name was.
I know that.
Yeah.
His name is Kim Lee.
I'm Kim Lee, not Kim Chow.
Poor Irene and
still racist name.
She's like Kimchi, which is a food.
You ever see Irene's husband?
Korean food.
You never see him.
No. I'm pretty sure he's stepping out on her.
Well, she did say like her fight when the house was destroyed.
Well,
that's nothing
him, yeah.
for her first fight. So
yeah, you assume that she had. Yes, he's there.
Yeah,
so.
They've gone. Fisticuffs. More than once. You know what? I'm sure the fight's been pretty equally. Like, she was a tough broad. She looked like she could hold her own.
Irene, right. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But LeFleur's
exactly
in jail.
Somebody you want to fight with.
And because he got arrested.
Yeah, because Harry and George got away off of the garbage truck, but LeFleur was still in the bucket, and, like, the cops
were
like,
But
hey.
He saw the license plate, guys.
Around.
But he saw the license plate of the car that went past him, which he knew was the license plate that he had. You guys missed that part? Oh, my God.
Oh, because he went...
No, because he stood up and he saw the car pull away. And that's when he went back down to find
wagon.
The gun. But it was a station wagon and he saw the car pull away and they zoom in on the license plate. And it was WEA and some numbers. And then he jumped back down into the dumpster to find the gun. And that's when you hear all the footsteps and then the... He looked up, and that's when all the...
Cops.
Yes!
A lot of cops for one dude.
We did gloss over a little bit how he got the address with just... He went to the DMV. Did anybody found it? It was a little bit... Leon's like, all right. He's like, oh, it's a beautiful country that I just give you a number, and you give me... And she's like, fuck you, I just want $10. Here's all the information about anybody that you ever
In
wanted.
All fairness.
This is pre-911.
In all fairness.
Pre-Patriot Act.
I'm just gonna state right now, in all fairness... I have a girlfriend who works at a car dealership around here, and she does loans for cars.
So this is the credit check.
And I have messaged her on occasion and been like, white Grand Prix, probably 96, because the taillights wrap around the sides instead of go up and down, and this is the fucking license plate
number.
And she has sent me back all the information. on that person, and she also says, "Don't ever say that I fucking gave."
But back in the 80s, you could, especially a smaller town, you could walk in and get information like that.
You still can't. I mean, you still can't. All you have to say is that I'm going to buy this, but I want to make sure that there's no warrants or tickets on it. And you give them the license plate or the VIN number, and the VIN number is right there in the fucking front windshield. You give that to the DMV, and they don't give a shit who you are. They're like. There's no.
You're willing
to
sit here for 2-3 hours. I don't care.
You can do that at the front. You can do that at the front counter. Seriously, I've done it when I went to buy a car from somebody like off bat, and I was like, I just want to make sure. And they give you the name, the address of who the car is in.
How much? Usually have to give them money for it.
Nope, not for the information.
Then why the fuck do I have to give them so much money with like my ID stamps
when you buy
it?
Yes. Well, that's the state. You're welcome.
I have to go get my driver's license renewed next week.
Oh, I still have another year.
Because he's old. I had to get mine.
I totally had to go get mine done because I used to use my ID, like, to scrape my windows, like, when the window wouldn't roll down when it was frosted to get between.
To get right in the, but yes.
And I'm like, this works great. And then one time it's stamped, I'm like, fuck.
My brother did that with his debit card, but he had just he had just enough of the strip part where he could go to an ATM and still fucking use it.
Give me money.
So he would put it at the top, and then he'd slap it and pull it out the bottom real quick.
We were going way off track,
though. That's what the grocery store cards are for. That's what the grocery store cards are for. The VIP.
Okay. I was 17. I was before VIP. I had those shit. That shit. But where are we in the movie?
I'm a VIP at Hoohot, yes.
We were just getting to the point where they found that where LaFleur knew it was George Henderson because...
Yeah. Well, then he's
because they drove away and they like locked him up
and then he went to jail.
Yeah,
but he's like, I know where he is,
and he called his friend that was on his way to meet to George,
the lawyer.
But first he called the guy that ran the Bigfoot Museum. What's the doctor? What's the doctor's name?
I didn't know.
LaFleur didn't call him.
No, he called his lawyer, Jerome.
The Wrightwood calls George.
He told me you gotta get me out of here right away, right now.
That was his lawyer.
He's calling Jerome, yeah.
I thought the lawyer was the second call. When it's like, it's been so many hours, how come...
No, yeah. That he had to call him again.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, it's the same call. But, yes, he's trying to get out. George is back at home, and Dr. Wrightwood calls him, and they have interesting discussion.
Right,
and, then,
and he's like, yes, come to dinner, and yeah. Dr. Wrightwood shows up. And he realizes it's the same fucking guy that he had talked to in the gift shop.
But he was like, yeah, buy shit or don't talk, yeah.
But I guess you have to invite him to the house. Like, yeah, come on over. But why did everyone dress up for it? I don't see why.
Because they were having dinner. Honey, it's called a dinner party. We don't have those here. like, we have people who come over, get drunk, and play fucking Cards Against Humanity.
Or do a podcast.
Plus,
it was released
in 87.
It was released in 87. Like, when, you still had to... do something when somebody came over. Now it's like, I have food and beer. If that's not good enough, get the fuck out.
You mean I have to vacuum the floors and dust the TV?
Fuck.
Don't come
you.
Here. Let's go to the bar. We'll meet at the bar.
But if you have this Bigfoot in your house who has been unpredictable in the past, you know, 15 hours that you own him or whatever it's been, are you going to wait until evening to have the doctor come over? You're going to say, come on over now, dude. Grab a six pack and come on over right now.
But they knew
they
that
had to
he
him.
Was going to be
they had to
friendly
present him.
With the Adams family in the background. Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Oh, that's when they're drying him off. Yeah.
And one's got a hair dryer, one's combing his hair, and the other one's filing his toenails.
And then you see the mom kind of look and look at each other and like, whatever.
Whatever, yeah, the Adams family is the perfect theme to that.
But at dinner, it comes out that the clerk is
Wrightwood. The Bigfoot and the daughter, though, don't they make amends at that point in time, though, too?
After.
That bring, oh, it's
after.
The
next day.
Yeah,
okay.
At the end, before they leave.
After Dr. What's his name?
Wrightwood.
Why is Jason the only one that knows who the fuck he is?
That's right there.
After Dr. Wrightwood gets there and he starts telling him, I've wasted so much time, so much money, my life, my wife.
Forget about the
Bigfoot. There's no
Bigfoot.
Yeah, they all start saying there's absolutely no such thing as a Bigfoot. And
Don Ameche's a great actor.
Yeah.
He's good. He's good.
And then he turns around and
he
says, oh, good Lord Jesus.
His eyes, it was like perfect, like, little boy opening Christmas, like my
I got
life
my Red
wasn't
Rider BB
like
gun.
A whole waste. It really is. I'm gonna hug you.
Well,
not
he
be
had
afraid.
The bolo. He had that bolo on, and it had the turquoise Bigfoot footprint.
The footprint,
on
it. I didn't notice that.
So where everybody else wore a tie, he wore a bolo.
Yeah. And then they're out, like, the whole family's talking about the Bigfoot, what's best for
him.
We
taught
him
how to sit. And then he jumps up and falls through and hits
as they're talking about it, like, the Bigfoot's, like, bringing in a whole bunch of pine trees and, like, making a little bed.
Yeah.
Well, but before that, when he goes through the floor in the dining room.
Right.
Well, Brick's house again. Another fucking hundreds of dollars fucking.
Showing
thousands.
Him that we can't keep him here.
But he only lands on the pool table. FYI, the eight ball went down before the fucking two ball did.
You see that room that the pool table's in? That is in a dungeon.
Right.
That is in a totally unfinished, like, dirty, probably floods every
those
spring
are the kind
of basement.
You got a sump pump down there.
It's a good basement. It's just not
I like those
kind of
basements.
That does not look like a good basement.
I grew up with a crawl space. like a little tiny cement room that had like the water heater and like the water softener.
And you were afraid to go into the crawl space?
Oh, fuck no. I'm like, I'll discover this shit.
Okay, normal people were afraid to
go. Normal people were.
I had a crawl space in my last house and I never went in it.
I wouldn't go in it.
Oh my God. When I would have parties in this, like in high school, I'd get drunk and that's when I would crawl into the crawl space and I'd find like,
she told me she's never gotten blackout drunk.
I know, I haven't. I remember it. I'd find the beer cans that my dad would drink when he was like doing the audition part of the.
So back when they had the frickin' peel tab cans and stuff, the pop tab.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Her audition was like 1990. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But okay.
Anyways.
Sorry.
Way weird.
I like to veer. We're drunk. I don't care. That's part of this. We share stories.
Man, I hope my parents don't like listen to this. I brought my dad up a couple times.
So Dr. Wrightwood has met Harry, and he's like all in now. He's like, yep, he has to have
a
sleep
place.
Bag.
I know a place where we can take him tomorrow morning.
Yeah, he's like,
I don't want you to capitalize.
You know why? Because every good hunter is always prepared.
Every good field scientist is prepared.
Always.
He was more of a field expeditionist, like...
Would you sleep next to Bigfoot?
Fuck yeah. Oh, my God. I was watching it last night. I'm like, I want a spoon with a Bigfoot.
If they had just bathed him, why not? He doesn't stink, right?
I would totally spoon with a Bigfoot.
Look, he rolls over on
you. You know what? I would probably want... I would want to paint his toes.
I gotta stop. I gotta stop you right there.
You guys... Okay. Well, what are you guys?
Here's the thing.
Females, though.
Here's the thing.
You might assume something.
I sleep next to my dog whose breath smells like dead fish all the fucking time. Why the fuck wouldn't I sleep next to this thing?
Well, the Bigfoot would have needs, too.
He is not waving his penis around, Jason.
He might. Once
I'm not... Okay. Granted, even though I have, like, black eyebrows and they're kind of thick, like, I'm not hairy enough for him to... For Harry to be attracted to me.
No.
I'm cool. Like, I have hair,
although
but I'm not
she might
that
be able to
hairy.
Do his call. I can't.
No, I know how to do Chewbacca.
That's exactly my point. Like, I couldn't do
this
that.
This was more, they didn't even try with this cow.
Maybe,
like,
maybe I guess
hey!
That is, maybe that's more my call. I'm here. anyways.
Come
okay.
Get it.
So Harry goes and picks some pine tree branches, lays them down, and he's making
a little bed.
Yeah. Which is the first time that you ever see him making a bed for himself in the
nesting.
House. Which... How many times has he been in the house at this point now? Have you thought about that? He's
was
never,
it just the second day?
Yeah, he's never
like
been in
the
house.
Third because he was there about like a day and a half, 2 days
but
the first time.
But did he spend the night the first night?
Well, you got to think, like, at first he was just exploring.
Wait, but did he spend the night the
first
night?
No, it was...
In the basement and then in the... Yeah,
this
pretty
the
much
timeline
in the
goes. They hit him. He spends the first night, like, in the garage and wakes up as in
which would have been Sunday to Monday.
And which then, he ends up in the basement and wakes up in the basement.
Then all day Monday, he's at the house. Oh. Then Monday night is when he escapes and they're planning on bringing him back to the woods. He runs through the woods, the city that night. And then Tuesday is when they get him back.
Like so Tuesday he's morning. 3 days.
Yeah.
They've never seen him be able to nest. Well, no, that's... You're right.
Sounds right.
You're right.
Yeah.
So he hasn't been able to make his bedding. So now he goes outside, and they're like, it's cool. It's Harry. We're going to let him go and pull down some pine trees. What?
Well,
yeah, he kind of said
why
this
not?
Kind of, yeah.
Well, think about that. I mean, come on. Okay, we're all a little weird here. We're all in agreement. You know damn well you'd be like, at first, that's, oh, okay.
I'd be fine with it. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit...
Have y'all met Jolene?
I grew up in the county. I like sleeping in the woods.
But
I'm
crawl spaces
I'm
are her
also
favorite.
A biology. Like, I got a degree in biology. So, no, like...
She's a scientist.
Seeing, like, his teeth, how he was interacting with the plants, trying to eat them and the fish and things like... No, it really...
But he just killed one of his meals. Think about it.
It was a pine tree. No.
He could have eaten it.
Yeah.
You don't eat
when
pine.
You eat, no,
why
yes.
not? Why not?
There's certain plants. Just because you
fry them.
Okay. Just
Harry
because of an animal. Just
fry
because
them
an
fry them in
an
bacon grease.
You think that fucker knows how to work a stove?
Doesn't mean every kind of plant is edible. They still have a
I was vegetarian for 12 years, I fucking know. Trust me.
Well, like,
most unhappiest 12 years of my fucking life.
I mean, even if you're a Sasquatch, I think pine needles are something that you...
I like bacon.
You could
there's
eat,
not much, there's not much nutritional to value to it, though.
Here's my thing.
Think of the purpose of a pine needle, though. It's more for conservatory of energy. Kind of
like iceberg lettuce.
I like iceberg lettuce. That's the only lettuce I like.
It is good.
But, okay, so as we move along...
Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's a movie here.
Yep.
Totally spoons. The doctor goes, like, just randomly gets up.
I'm going to be the small
and,
spoon.
And, like, leaves.
But in the morning.
And they're like, oh, is he coming back? And he comes back.
Yeah,
with
they don't even know. Like, he comes in with all his shit, like, I'm here, guys.
Like, I'm
yeah.
spooning this. I did like the wake up, though, because, like, the dog and the little boy, they were all, like, spooning in a big, comfy, hairy.
Like in a train.
Yeah. It was cute.
I woke up like that once. No, I'm joking.
The kid, the boy, the youngest boy was so cartoonish with how big his eyeglasses were and how high pitched his voice was.
You said you didn't do a whole lot of background search on him or on any of the movie, really, right?
No, I watched the movie.
Right, but you didn't Google IMDb.
No,
BD.
No. I thought I just needed to watch the movie.
Did you do a lot of research on this kid?
No.
Which kid? The little boy?
Ernest.
Little boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's...
Nothing.
No, he works somewhere. He's got
nothing.
Some job, a regular job somewhere.
Yeah, it's like Charlie.
He works at Petco,
it's like
he?
The kid from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Like he did his movie, he did another show, and
too.
He's like, "I'm out. It's cool. Like yeah. this isn't for me. Fuck it. I'm good." So it's kind of cool to see. I'm sorry,
yeah.
I'm one of those people that like I like to see people go like, "This is great. I made enough to put myself through college. Fuck off." I don't need this.
If that's actually what they did with that money that they got it.
Well, and whatever. I mean, he didn't get arrested.
Old,
look he
how
didn't get
old,
arrested.
But look at the age of that kid during that movie. What, he was like maybe 10?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
His parents pissed that money away. He didn't piss
maybe,
that money
but
away.
But maybe he had good parents. Maybe. He had good parents.
He had a few roles after that, but not long.
Yeah, they weren't much. It was like 91. From 87 to 91,
yeah,
he acted,
yeah.
and that was
he
it.
He was very cartoonish in this movie, very character, like the big glasses. He seemed almost like too small for the age that he was supposed to be playing
right.
with, and his voice is a lot like higher pitched, and he's like almost too overly excited about like killing and shooting and meh, but then like, oh,
but for the movie, he
the,
wanted to
yeah.
be that way for his dad,
yeah.
so.
Well, everybody was very one-dimensional. It was late 80s when they put this movie out. Everybody had their role, and nobody can stem from that.
The
mom was overly nurturing and loving. The daughter was a teenage bitch.
The daughter, she didn't do much acting either. She did very little after this.
I'm not surprised.
She's living in Vancouver right now.
Yeah.
She's the arts and life editor for the Vancouver Sun.
Yeah. It's to me, her role that? Seemed like she tried too hard to be like the Griswold European vacation daughter, too much that like bitchy, snarky girl that, yeah. Like, we want this girl, but we couldn't get her, so can you be her? I'll try. Don't eat my orchid corsage that I saved for 6 months, which would have been dead as fuck.
Well, not keep the fridge.
Six, yeah, even after you'd be kitchen in. Keep it in the fridge.
I thought keeping the fridge is fine.
It puts about maybe 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks past its time frame. Not 6 fucking months.
Oh, okay.
It's still going to die. I don't know. Can you keep potato salad in your fridge for 6 months?
That's not a flower.
I can. We have.
It still wouldn't be that vibrant color one, but that was way earlier in the movie when we bitched about that.
But
they did consult, like, yeah, they came.
So LeFleur has maybe got out of jail, and he heads straight to the Henderson house. So, you know, it's from the scene that he's playing in the car.
And Harry had brought in the flowers for the daughter.
Yeah.
The big bouquet of roses.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sorry.
Which the
I'm
neighbor,
sorry too.
Which the neighbor has
Irene
has recently lost a shit ton of roses.
Wow, go figure.
And she blames her gardener.
And she blames
surprise,
Kim Chi
surprise.
Slash Kim Lee.
It's Kim Lee. Kim Chi, don't do that. It's Kim Lee.
And then she sees LeFleur picking up flowers as he is going towards
What'd you
the
do
house.
My flowers?
And she comes after him with an electric knife. Do you know how long the fucking extension cord would have to be on that shit?
Could that be a rechargeable? They didn't have those then, huh?
They did not have those.
Is there a cord in them? Do you see a cord?
You know what? I don't remember now, and I've watched it twice today.
Yeah,
and all I thought was, are you fucking kidding me? She's after him with an electric... Which, electric knives...
What'd you do to my flowers?
I thought it was one of those that you kind of set in, like, a rusty...
Electric knives
it, you know?
Have a
then.
Blunt tip.
Well, and it's kind of forked for you to be able to grab the slice after.
No,
you
if you looked at that one, it was a blunt... Like, it's a...
Oh, it was
square
late 80s.
It was like a bread knife. It was like an electric bread knife. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, that's usually what they were, like, two bread knives, and they'd saw back and forth.
And this is why there is now concealed carry. I'm just saying. Just saying. Oh, sorry. I'm that
Frank
person.
Frankenfurter used one when they're carving up Eddie in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Touché.
Well, that's a tender subject. No, wouldn't you say? Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
So he's...
Jason's just looking at us back and forth like it's a fucking tennis match. What the fuck is going on?
So you got confronted by Irene.
Yes, and then Harry looks out the window, which
Irene sees
makes
Harry.
Her like do this big dramatic pause, like the big fat Greek wedding when you tell him, no, he's not Greek, but I love him anyway. What? Oh my god.
And it switches to John Lithgow just in,
right.
When LaFleur turns
when LaFleur looks around, like, what the fuck just happened? And then he looks up and he sees
it's
John
just
Lithgow.
A dude.
But so I guess while LaFleur's in the backyard, probably like feeling Irene out, but she passed out, the Hendersons are escaping out the front, right? And they run to Dr. Wrightwood's.
Fucking sloppy jalopy.
Because he knows a spot where he could be safe.
Do you think that truck made it all the way there to see them in the first fucking place? I mean, that thing was on the verge of breaking down every second.
What was wrong with their car? I mean, it's already bad.
It was in the driveway further. He had parked behind them.
Oh, okay.
Which, FYI, if you ever come to a person's house, you don't park in their driveway unless you've already asked them if it's okay. You park on the
That's
fucking
rude
street.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Like, if I want to get away from you, I'm going to drive my car, or I'm going to fucking fuck yours up. Like, these are options. Well, so, yeah, you're not supposed to do that, guys.
It's always good to keep
guys.
Options open.
I ran over a fucking Audi TT with my goddamn Nissan Xterra, so don't fuck with me. I was just trying to go somewhere to drive.
Okay.
So their car is there, and LaFleur somehow...
By the way, that was an accident.
LaFleur somehow steals the car.
I think you're past the statute of limitations. You're good.
I hope so.
Okay. So they run out into the go ahead. Sorry. Because Dr. Whatever slashes the tires.
Oh, yeah. That was a dick move. That was pretty
you're
good,
driving,
though.
Harry, you're driving. Or Harry. George, you're driving.
They take the 50-something truck that, like, is... You know,
smoking.
Yeah,
and like on its left,
creating its own like hole in the
burning
ozone.
So much oil right now.
This is before EPA laws.
So what'd you girls?
So it's kind of like now.
Wait, what'd you girls think of the traffic jam there?
Traffic jam.
Okay, first of all, I think it's ridiculous because the traffic jam on our way to Milwaukee. If there's a siren behind us, that guy's fucked.
Yeah,
we ain't
moving.
Nobody's fucking moving. Nobody. Like, you better get on the shoulder in either direction, bitch, because we ain't fucking moving.
Yeah, because there's a cop before then that, like, sirened, and, like, everybody moved around.
Right.
And then, like, Harry's like, I can mimic a siren. I'm like,
out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. He leans out the window.
And don't, in the dead of fucking traffic.
I hope nobody was sleeping when they were listening to that, because she totally woke you up. All
right, sorry.
Look at his face, and Jason's like, okay, stop. Okay, stop. Okay.
Well, don't do it in the mic. That's okay.
It was yeah,
yell like this.
Yes, we taught Jason that.
Oh.
Don't yell like this. You have to lean back and yell.
Yeah.
I thought I leaned up a little bit a couple times, but I was. But anyway.
And you're not supposed to burp in the mic either, Jolene.
I thought that's how they know how we're drinking.
That was me anyway. It's
I
actually
did it kind
earlier. Of disgusting.
I did it earlier.
We, you get like one or two. You're allowed.
You're allowed four per show,
like
is what I say.
I'm only at two. I'm good.
Yeah, you're good.
You're fine.
You're good.
You're fine.
So the traffic jam, you know, somehow they pull away, and I would have been following that guy, I guess, right?
Right.
Shit. But
nowadays, everybody like, fuck you, I'm not moving over.
Well, yeah.
Right there, sit there, and they're like, what do you want me to fucking do? Where do you want me to go?
We're dead truck fucking traffic.
Asshole. But they escape, and they get out there, and LeFleur somehow gets through the traffic jam and finds out. Well, he sees the exit they take. He sees where they're going.
Yeah. Right.
So somehow he knows. But he knows that one path, though, which is kind of weird. They stop, and they have to, like, back up and take this other path.
And he said, I always miss the turn. Yeah. I always miss the turn. So But he said, I know where I'm going. But if you have your buddy. Okay, so if it's me and Jolene, and I know I'm going to go and take Harry to this great spot, and I say, I might know a spot. And Jolene's my old partner that used to fucking look for Sasquatches with me.
No, he like stopped in the road and he looked off to the side. I thought there was
a
cloud.
You could see the cloud. Yeah.
There was a cloud of
dust.
That's
what I'm saying of his floppy jalopy is fucking busting
the
EPA
shit. Oh, the dust thing.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
He's like, that's why he stopped. He's like, oh, they went there because I can see the dust from the dirt road. Yeah.
But so he follows him, gets him to him. And this is when... George is trying to get him to go, and he's mean to him.
Yeah, he slaps him.
He's like, go, don't you understand? You gotta go.
This has been mocked by, like, South Park and shit, hasn't it? Family Guy and stuff.
Go. It's not that I don't love you, but you gotta go.
I think
you have
been
to be
dead, like, done in so many different movies.
Look,
we've
all had that ex-boyfriend that you gotta fucking do that shit to. Like, you just know it's over. You gotta slap him and tell him go home.
And Harry, like, puts that in.
Are we saying that we all have a bath, Alicia?
Yeah. We all have that.
And Harry brings that shit back up, too, twice. He's like, oh, my face, after this. He's like, remember when you fucking hit me?
He's touching his face,
Remember when you fucking hit me? But so Harry starts
to letting
leave.
Him know you hurt my feelings. But Harry is,
but
like, the most adult,
like,
one out of all of this.
They realize that the Bigfoot is leaving, like, prints
in
the snow. And even though, like, they made him run off
the kid said, the kid said, we can follow his footprint. We can see him again. No, we can't. Yeah, we can follow his footprint. Oh, shit, his footprints.
Yeah, so then they all use, like, the cement casings of, like, the footprints that they used before.
That he had
they,
in his truck.
They strapped him on their feet, and they're like, let's
that's
make
why
a whole
they
bunch
took
of-
the truck.
Yeah.
Well, in hindsight, yes.
If they would have took the station wagon, that they couldn't
those
have done
those wouldn't
that.
Have been there.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
But
all of a sudden, there's snow on the ground, too.
Well, if you look about
in the mountains.
That station wagon was kind of fucked where it would have, like, brought more attention than the old-ass truck on the highway.
I'm not sure about that. Because that old-ass station wagon.
I'm trying to give him a little bit more ammo.
Stop.
But Harry sees George, like, walking in the big, huge, you know.
And he kind of clicks that, because then
like,
he later sees the French guy behind him. He's like, oh, you're trying to mask where I am.
Yeah, because LeFleur catches up to Harry and takes a couple shots at him.
Did you notice, like, the 10 birds just, like, chilling on, like,
yeah,
Harry's
he was up
arm.
In the
yeah, oh, yeah.
He was in the pine tree.
I'm one with nature.
I love my bird friends.
Yeah, the birds in there.
Yep.
This guy's cool. Yeah, we just chill out. But, yeah, he's just hanging out, and I think he rubs his face that time, too, like, ooh.
Yeah, when he sees George walking towards him,
he's
and then
like,
he's like, rubs his face,
I
like,
love you, but you hit me, I don't know what to do.
Well, he watches him walk towards him, and then he rubs his face, and then George walks in the other direction.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those things where
and
he's like,
he
oh,
the
but then
guy,
you see
yeah.
the smile that Harry does, too, like, yeah, he really does love me because
yeah.
he took him in the other direction,
yeah,
not towards the tree.
He's confusing him.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention, this is an Academy Award winning movie. Did you know that?
I did not.
For the puppeteering.
For makeup design.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's the Academy Award winning film.
Yeah. He did do a great job on his costume.
Oh, yeah, he looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked fucking awesome, you know, still. So, where are we at? We're at, the gunshots. This is Little Bob's time to shine right here.
Little Bob?
Little Bob.
Little Bob.
Because Little Bob's a fucking gangster dog.
Yeah.
Because he hears those gunshots.
He is a Jack Russell Terrier.
He hears those gunshots it's and he
Dobby.
He squeezes out of that window. And he is gone. He's ready to go after those fucking gunshots.
He's like, but I hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he goes right after LeFleur, too. He knows right where those gunshots came from. That dog's from the hood. I'm telling you. That dog is straight up gangster.
Yeah.
So.
But, Jacques Lecoeur finds him and, like, tries, like, throwing
yeah,
him.
He, like, throws him through the midair, which that wasn't very
and
nice.
And Harry just grabs him.
He was like, "Not, you're not fucking with my dog."
And he brings him to his chest and he probes him and he's like, this is your petty.
This is my
and
buddy.
He pets him. Because later on, because early in the movie, the family's like, he's her petty and he's our pet.
Yeah.
He's
our little pet.
Still petting. You only pet him. You don't throw him, motherfucker.
But
I kind of like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this, like how, like, he made petting badass. Like, you fucking pet this dog. You don't throw
you
him.
Don't hurt him.
But so LeFleur gets in a little scuffle with Harry. And he kicks him in the balls, and it's, we get this little comic piece where...
Where he first looks at him like, fuck you,
completely
and then he's like, wait a minute,
reaction.
Yeah.
Like a 45-second delay to like, ah, now my voice is higher, because I got kicked in the balls.
But, so, he gets away for a minute, but Harry catches up to him and grabs him and brings him back to the car. And he's just sitting on the roof of the car holding him, you know, just holding him down there.
Well, George was going to kill him.
That's after.
Yeah.
They show up and then George is ready to kill
him. Well, that kind of goes you back to retrospect of, like, why he was just holding him and not pummeling
he's
him.
He's like, hey, I got this bad guy.
Yeah.
I caught him. Guys. Yeah. Guys, come help.
But then George wanted to kill him, and then
Harry's like, no. He's like, no.
Oh. Does he shake his finger at him?
Yeah.
And he, like, hugs him and pets him.
And pets his head. Like, this is our pet for petting.
You don't kill, you teach.
So they won over the villain. The villain just
yes.
like,
learned
I
the
air
of his ways. And
he wins them over, and everybody's standing there, and, you know, everybody gets to do their last hugs goodbye, finally, instead of hurry up, get out of here, I'm going to bitch slap you because, you know.
Somebody's coming to hunt your ass. Yeah.
And that's when Harry turns around. And you see all the other little...
Oh, no, before that, though, we have the big part where Harry talks.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Where he says, okay, you take care of yourself out there. Okay.
Okay.
You are higher.
And then he wanders off.
And then, like, you see all these other, like, Bigfoots
turn
around.
Two grown-ups and a baby. So I'm confused.
I saw that baby from, like, jump, though. You saw the hair was just, like, right in the middle of the screen. But the other ones were pretty good from, like, turn around.
The first
like, you
one.
Had no
the first
idea.
One was. The second one and the baby I knew. But that first one, when I turned around, I was like, what? Like, I could see these other things.
Okay. I knew they were coming. When I knew they were coming, I knew right where they were last time I saw them.
I didn't.
Week.
Even,
see,
even
so
the first
long,
one, I didn't.
So I didn't. Like, I knew
first
I saw
time I didn't
the
know.
Hair. I saw the hair of the little baby. I'm like, I thought it was just like
janky. Yeah.
Like,
it was just a weird thing sitting
well,
there, and you could
I thought
see the hair.
It was poor set,
yeah.
set work.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it was a different color.
Yeah.
All the other ones were darker, and
he was
lighter yet.
Yeah.
So, and he was just in the middle of two dark trees.
Yeah.
The first one, when that one turned around, even the second time I watched it today, I was like, wait,
it was really
where
good
did he come back. From? Like, I totally didn't see him. The second and third one, maybe because they were on the left side and they were two, like, here and there type of thing. Like, they were right there.
Yeah.
The first one was right by the tree, so he blended with
really
the tree
well.
Completely.
Which I kind of like that for me, because, like, this is why he's been around for so long, but nobody has really been able to confirm.
They blend in so well
up.
Like that.
Yeah,
I guess so.
They got their background.
That's what that's how I go for it. And then you know he's not alone then as well. Because
right.
you're like, oh,
there's
you're
more.
Only one, but we have to let you go.
There really is a
you're
pack of
alone.
Them. Like when he said,
yeah.
what did he say? When LaFleur said there's a herd of them. There really is a herd of them when he saw the footprints, even though it was all of
the
family members making
that.
And he's like, "There's a herd."
I thought that was him just getting overexcited for like his lot, like my autism was. Oh my God, there's more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, he said there's a herd, and then you see three more pop up, and which I thought was awkward because like Harry's a guy, so what were the other two and the baby?
That's his wife, his mistress, and...
That was
right.
Like, that was only other three. You don't know how many more are
right,
out there.
Right, but it makes
they
you, like...
They could have only been, like, patrolling, like, the outside
as
edges.
As a child watching it, maybe that's how you looked at it. As an adult, I'm like, so is that, like,
who
another
are they fucking?
Family? Or
yeah.
is that
would
his
they be right
cousin?
There? How would they know
his,
where to be?
Or is that his wife? His teenage daughter, and then his younger son. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you start to think
about it. I think
it's just
Bigfoots in the area.
Right. It's to each their own.
Yeah. Because they wouldn't know where he's going to be dropped off.
I still like
right,
the movie.
Right.
If there's so many kind of holes in there, and like so many,
but it's
so
cute.
Cheeky.
But it's cute.
But it gives you the warm, fuzzy feeling of it.
I really liked right at the end.
Speaking of the warm, fuzzy feeling, a lot of critics when this movie came out in 87, people compared it to like E.T. Like, it was trying to be like E.T.,
I can kind
of
see it. I mean, they're going into the woods.
It's still way better than Mac and Me.
The kid.
Yeah.
The kid.
You remember the McDonald's like alien Mac and Me?
No.
I do remember that.
McDonald's produced it, and they like drank Coca-Cola. And it was, oh my goodness.
But I think the best part of the movie at the end was the part where you know, everybody was like, oh, he does have friends and family because to go off and be with.
Because at that point in time, it's like, you know, they can't live with him, but you don't want him to be alone. So it's like, yay, he's not alone.
Yeah.
And he obviously wasn't in the same spot as he was before, so it was nice that there were more here. Also, my
little hair.
One of the good parts at the end was when they said, "What do we do now?" type of thing, and LaFleur says, "There's always Loch Ness." Nessie.
Yeah, let's go hit Ireland. Yeah. But I guess in the TV series, it's an alternate ending, I suppose.
Yeah, that's because he lives with the family in the TV show.
Yeah, that he
show.
Doesn't go into the woods.
Right, they kept him forever.
Because it would be kind of weird if it was Harry Harrison's and he was out in the woods.
Which reminds me of Elf.
That's what they called it. They called it the Elf of the 90s.
Yeah, that one.
Bulls wanted
that one,
like, when we did our list that's going to be coming up, he's like, I'm like, that was a TV show, not a movie, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elf, honey, Elf. No, you're wrong.
We can't
just
do that, no.
I love you. Shh.
But so that's about it for it. And then well, then there's the ending, though. There's the final credits. What'd you think of that? The Take On Me fucking version.
It was a little awkward. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Rotoscoping when they changed the
pictures into the sketches.
They animated.
Oh, I thought it was very 80s.
It was
very like Take On Me.
That's exactly. It was.
But I enjoyed it. I liked it. I liked how
the point of doing it though was because George sketched. So. Because he was an artist, he got those, like, it was like, oh, here's what happened,
like,
and then
almost,
he did a drawing to it. So.
I kind of like it. It's almost like the storyboard coming to life, kind of like.
Right. Well,
they
vice versa.
Done that throughout the movie. Made it more about George's storyboards.
Don't do that.
It has to be about Harry. It's got to be about the gentle giant.
Well, Harry could be a part of it, but.
But the way they did it was, like, they showed the beginning where they're yelling at each other or where they're talking or where they meet, and it's human to human-ish. And then it goes into, slowly it becomes a rough sketch.
Yeah.
A rough sketch with some shading, and then a full-on, you know, like, rendering of what happened. So, if you did that shit throughout the whole movie, I'd have a fit.
Okay, that's the film. I guess it's rating time.
Yay!
Oh, I like it. It was nostalgic.
You know the rating?
Head.
You know our rating system? Our rating
I can't
system?
Remember...
Okay.
I never remember, and I've been doing
more
this
than
for
a tap year.
Our rating system goes as follows. If you really loved it, you'll give it a keg. That's what kind of party you want to have with this movie, pretty much.
Okay.
If you really love it, you'll give it a keg. If it's okay, you give it your case, you can give it a six-pack, you can give it a tapper. That's how much beer you'll drink with this movie.
Okay. I'll give it a case though, just because it has a lot of nostalgia value to it, and it gives it rubs some warm and fuzzies for you throughout. So
yeah, all right, sounds good. Okay, how about you, Danielle? What do you think?
As much as I wasn't like I was a fan, but it was like, oh, it was one of those weird kids movies, like once you grow up type thing, and then you rewatch it as you're 40 years old. And you're like, it's still cute. Oh, I like
and
it.
And I like how I'm like, oh, I seen what you've gone on to other things.
Right. Yeah, it's cool. I'm still confused on how John Lithgow still has the same haircut. But whatever. What the fuck ever. I think, too, a good case.
Yeah.
A good case. And maybe a shot. Like, not quite a kegger, but
okay.
I
give it a shot.
Yeah. So a bottle of alcohol and...
I can cheers you on that, I think.
Bottle of apple pie in a case. I'd be good. I'd be good.
All right. I think I'm right with you on that. I think I give you good about that, too. I saw it probably at least a dozen times when I was a teenager. Just every time I babysit my brother, he's like, hey, we did it.
It was actually one of the movies we watched just hanging out at your house one night when we...
Yeah, oh yeah,
no,
I watched it once
sitting
in a while,
here,
yeah.
And like when, yeah.
It was on Netflix, and I watched it probably about a year ago or so.
Right.
I watched it, and... yeah, I liked it, so it was okay, but...
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I thought it was kind of cute, but now I watch it again, I see the plot holes, I wonder why they fucked it, they take that fucking thing home. You know?
Right, why not just push it off to the side of the road and go, fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And call the cops on your way home, I hit something, and if it's not a dog, they don't care.
But he does say, oh, this could be a museum, or, you know, would be interested in something like this, they say that. So you kind of like, you would think if it was a species you never saw before, you guess you would, but I wouldn't bring it home. I'd bring it straight to the fucking museum.
Right. I think that where they came from that was...
Hello?
Y'all need this.
Anybody in this museum? You guys got to watch this thing.
I think two things on that. I think because of how far away they were.
Leave them tied to the back door.
Well, because of how far away they were. So it took, obviously, all night to get home. And then the second...
I don't think so.
Well, they didn't get home in the daylight. He didn't... The next scene you see is him laying in bed.
Yeah, they could have got home at like 6 and...
True, but I think that he was further away. I mean, obviously, yeah. They didn't drop him at the same fucking place where they picked him up, you know. Yeah. But the other thing is...
Fire drive.
Is that he's a hunter. Yeah. Like, he had a bunch of shit mounted on his walls.
Yeah, he has done some
So killing. Why not cut the bust of it off and set it up on a wall? Like,
Harry thinks it's dead.
But any good hunter knows you should field dress that shit right there.
Yeah, should you clean it? Yeah.
Yeah, you should field dress it and carry it on your car with all
That's
the,
my uncle did
all the
kid.
Guts
it was
and
disgusting.
Shit hanging out of it and
yeah, you
sitting
don't
want
on that.
The side. Yeah, I mean, so there's some plot holes, but yeah, I mean, if he's a good hunter, then even if you hit a deer, you can call. When you call the cops because you hit a deer,
yeah.
They actually have a list of people that will come and gut and clean your deer right there. They'll field dress it. They'll come pick it up from where you hit it. They won't pay for your car. They won't do it. None of that shit. But they'll come and get your venison.
But you have to use a deer tag for that, and some people don't want to use a deer
tag. But that's the thing. If you call somebody, they'll tag it, and they'll bag it, and they'll use it for the food. So
but
that's
what
I'm saying.
You have to use your own personal deer tag.
Of course you do.
But
you only get
like 3 or 4 of those a season. Uh-huh. Some people don't want to utilize
them. But you get them a year, not a season. And that way, if I hit one right now, today, it's not season. But they could come and do it.
Okay. Oh, see, so I've you heard, could, like, I thought it was only during season.
No, how many people that get tags per season don't hit a deer when they're out hunting?
Yeah.
Those tags are good for a full 365 days. So if I hit something and the DNR calls, like the cops call DNR, one of those people on the list can come and get your
so
shit.
Kind of like if you just have leftover tags because
you can't
use them now.
We had an uncle who, when I hit a deer, I called him to figure it out. And anyways, but yeah, it would be nice to. But like this guy's an avid hunter. Like he should have known what to do from the get go.
Yeah, but it seems it does seem like he was only forced that because of his dad.
Oh, absolutely, but I get it. He had busts of, like I said to Jason, when he had busts of deers all around his house, so, not deers, sorry, deer, all around his house,
well,
so you should have known.
Yeah.
So you should have known type of thing, but yeah, I get it. And it's still a cute movie, nonetheless.
Did, yeah, no, that was very campy and cheesy, and anybody that...
It was a cute movie, because John Lithgow is badass in about anything he's in.
Yeah. And he still has the same haircut.
Melinda Dillon is adorable.
Great.
Well, the kids did good for what they were supposed to do, so.
Yes.
Everybody had their role in their part, and they did great.
Know your role, bitches.
Could you play for a kid now?
It's very late 80s. Know your role.
Could you play for a kid now?
Could you play for a kid now?
Could you play the movie for a kid now?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to show my grandson this shit.
You know what? The probably the opening, 10, 15 minutes, they're probably like, why don't you just fucking call somebody? That kind of, like the whole in the woods thing, that would probably be a little bit of a disconnect, but anything else, yeah, you could play it for a kid.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm still saying I have to watch it again, but I think the beginning was not Ernie and his dad, George. I think it was George and his dad when he was younger.
The flashbacks of them going through the woods. Gotcha.
Yep.
I think
that's what it was.
Okay.
So, anyway, so yeah, we all summed it up.
And everybody wants a Bigfoot for a pet.
I want one.
Because they just need hugs.
I feel like I have one. His name is Meatball. He's just a big dope. Sasquatch.